Would you? Oh, wow. The boy laid an egg. From who?
The CDC.
Oh, yeah? What do they want?
Some kind of information survey for kids under 18. But I never answered the call because I only have the number. But now I know what the number is. That's a period of time. I don't know what the number is. But then the first time I got the message, they would see the CDC.
So tell them what you think. Yeah, right. Well, good evening, folks. Good to have you on board tonight. A little breezy out there, a little warm. I think I sent this out as an email, but this Saturday they have a Baptist for Life rally. It's going to be held at Faith Baptist Church in Oak Creek. Jim Schneider from VCY will be the main speaker there at that. If that's anything that you want to, I don't know if that one's still on the board out there. Yeah, I guess there's one out there up here if you want to get the times and location and so on. All right. Okay, so we're going to be looking here at lesson number 3, second half of that, a name that you need to remember. So, for those who are memory challenged, this you got to remember this name, right? Okay, let's pray as we get started here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for a beautiful day that you've given us. Enjoy the warmer temperatures after winter. We thank you now, though, that we can open your word and learn more about the various names that have been given to you. Help us to understand you and your character and qualities about you better. And so we pray that you guide us in our study here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just a little bit of review on this first section here. As he mentions here, a couple of the names that we've touched on already. One of them was that of Elohim. That's where you find that there in Genesis 1. And we'd recognize that in Scripture as capital G-O-D. And then the next one was that of Jehovah, and we would recognize that in the Scriptures as being all capitals, either for Lord or God. And then we're looking here tonight at El Elyon, and that's translated as the Most High God. Okay. Now, remember, there's in those days there were lots of gods. Okay, I like to make sure that we understand it's a small g when we're talking about man-made gods, imagination gods that people have come up with, where this is the Most High God. Okay, he's, some of you guys remember playing King of the Hill? Usually somebody gets hurt. Gets thrown back down the hill. Well, God is at the top of the hill, okay? And the rest of these are just imitations. But we first see that mentioned when after Abraham had went with his army and with the Most High God's help, he went and rescued Lot and their families from those five kings that had come and taken them and all the spoil. And he comes and he meets up with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, we don't know how much conversation's gone on before we read this, but he says he blesses Abraham, or Abram at that point, there in Genesis 14:19. He says, "Blessed be Abraham, after the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And so here we have him recognizing that he was worshiping the Most High God. And talk about possessor. Again, God isn't just a, well, they used to talk about an absentee landlord. You know, God got created the world, you know, spun it like a top and went off and left it. You know, that's not what God does. But he created this universe, this world, and he's keeping it going, and he owns it, he controls it, he ultimately sets the rules, he's the one that creates things. What's that when things fall out of the sky and hit you in the head? Gravity, okay? things that keeps us, has our feet on the ground. But then we saw here that Abraham recognized who Melchizedek was, that he was a priest after the Most High God, and he gave him tithes of all that he possessed, kind of the loot that they had come up with after getting Lot and his family back, and gave us the principle of tithing. We saw, too, that even today, you know, some would argue, well, that's Old Testament law. What do we say in response to that? Is tithing Old Testament law?
No.
Why not?
It came before that.
Right. It's some at least 400 years before the law was given. It came before they went to Egypt, was there for hundreds of years, and came out, and then they got the law. Okay? I've had people through the years was saying, well, okay, if I'm supposed to tithe, do I tithe on the gross or do I tithe on the net? What do you think? Yeah, it's the gross. You can not, I mean, most people need the money that they're working for, but potentially you could have about zero net. Okay, by the time out they take out health insurance, federal and state taxes, union dues, 401ks, everything else, you know. I mean, it's, no, don't start pinching pennies with God. You're going to come up on the short end of things, all right? And so, and he tells us he loves a cheerful giver. If you got a bad attitude about it, then you might as well not give, because there's not going to be a blessing there for you. We saw here, too, that El Elyon helps when we're tempted. And temptation isn't something that we experience just in today's era. It was back around when Abraham was there, and it started out with Adam and Eve, right? They wanted to be wise like God. and they were tempted. Satan tempted them, and they bought the bait. But the thing is here, El Elyon is able to deliver us from our enemies, as he helped Abram deliver those people, Lot and others, from their enemies. And Melchizedek pointed that out. It was El Elyon, it was God who enabled them to gain the victory and to be able to get the people delivered from that. Well, today we may not have a physical enemy as such as they did. It's not one army against another, at least not yet. But we do have an adversary who is the devil, okay? And we all have a target on our backs. And the Bible describes him as a roaring lion. And I jokingly say he's looking around for a juicy Christian to chew on, okay? He can't take our salvation from us, but he can kind of shift us into neutral so that we are not much help to God. He can mess up our testimony, our witness, our character, so that nobody wants anything to do with us. He'd like to capture our soul, but he can't do that. So he's going to try to muddy it up a little bit, all right? But he wants to devour us. That's his end game, and anything short of that, he'll take that as well. And so we're tempted. And, you know, it talks about that there in Ephesians 6, the fact that we put on the whole armor of God. And, we're also told we don't, for the most part, okay, there might be times when we are battling against an individual, okay? But for the most part, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities and others. And so, and again, Satan behind that, and he's been around for a long time, and he's a pretty good detective. Not that he's doing it all. He's got a lot of help. And he's going to look for our weak spots. And we all have. Wouldn't it be great if we only had one weak spot? You know, we could just cover that one, make sure that one's covered. But no, and you know, it's. I used the illustration of, you know, fish bait, and I was going to bring some along, but went to the sports show here earlier in the spring, and when you walk in the door, they're giving you these little bags of, looks like little fish. Anyway, they're some kind of lures supposed to put on a hook. Anyway, and, you know, if one color doesn't work or one type of fish doesn't work, you try another one. And it's kind of interesting. Some of these different lures they have, they're about the size of the fish I catch. I don't. Must be monster fish that these guys are catching. But yeah, he doesn't just go away and leave us alone. All right, we might think so, but he'll come back and he'll hit us from another direction. But El Elyon, the Most High God, is there to help us. He's devil's powerful, but he's no match for God. And we have a promise there that he's going to watch over and help us out. He says there in Psalm 91:1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Okay, so he's going to hide us. He's going to protect us. And we need to remember that when we're tempted or tested, we can call out to the Most High God for the help that we need. Well, then we look at here tonight, kind of new ground here, and this is really good stuff here. El Elyon helps us when we're tested. If we had lots of time and nobody was afraid to share things that they have been tested in, you know, different areas of our lives when we've been tested, you know, and there's all kinds of different tests, you know, there's mental, emotional, physical, financial, you know, on goes the list. There's all kinds of lists out there or tests, you know, and some that might not bother some people will just pretty much wipe out the next guy, right? Because, you know, we're able to handle some things and other things not so much. But we're all tested. And El Elyon, the Most High God, is there to help us deal with the tests. It's not if, but when they come. Okay, you may not be in one right now, and praise the Lord. But we don't know what's coming tomorrow or next week or however long it might be. All right, or maybe you just got through one and you just kind of got cleaned up from it. You know, but he mentions here in Daniel. Okay, I think we all know the story of Daniel and his three friends. But it says Elion is used four times in the book of Daniel, more than any other book in the Bible. Okay, and that sounds about right, because there was an awful lot of tests going on there in Daniel. And you remember how it worked out. Okay, we got Nebuchadnezzar over there in Babylon. He's just marching east, and he finally gets to Israel and to Jerusalem and takes people captive, cleans out the temple of all the holy furniture and articles, the cups and saucers and everything else that they would use in worship. And because they're all gold, okay? You know, he's probably not thinking, oh, that's got my initials on it, you know, or it's because it's gold. It's worth something. So they haul it all back to Babylon, and they put it in his temple of his false god. So here's God's holy items putting on the shelves of a pagan god. Does that look like El Elyon, Most High God? Well, did God lose his power? Did he fail to take his B12 vitamin that day? You know, what happened? Why was Israel being taken off to Babylon anyway? Do you remember?
Because of years of disobedience to God.
Right, they've been disobedient to God, and this was kind of like their, well, some would call it punishment, other ones would call it discipline. How about a time out? How long was that time out?
7 years.
Whew. And your kids think it's tough when they have to stand in the corner for 5 minutes. Yeah, 70 years, okay? And we won't get into all the why it ended up 70, but God had a reason for that, for that particular number. And so it's God just kind of pulled back a little bit, and he's using Nebuchadnezzar to teach his people a lesson. And this isn't the only time. This just happens multiple times in Israel. They are disobedient to God. They turn their back on God. They start worshiping false gods, all kinds of different things. And God lets one of the foreign powers come in and kind of clean up on them for a while. You know, oftentimes it was the Philistines, or it's the Assyrians, or, you know, there's different groups that God uses. Well, here he uses the Babylonians, and so they clean house out of the temple, but they also take people with them. Now, I don't know if they had some kind of a list to know who the top folks were. Somebody was probably telling them. And in the process of that, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with a lot of other people, end up being marched off to Babylon. And they're there for a while. They've given different jobs and responsibilities. The king, okay, has this golden image made, and 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. I was thinking, that'd be quite a trick to make this thing, let alone get it to stand up. You know, I don't know if they have guy wires on this thing, you know, to hold him up or what. And everybody, when the music starts, they're supposed to bow down. Well, the music starts and there's some that's not cooperating. We don't know exactly where Daniel's at this time, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are still standing. And they told him ahead of time, you know, you don't bow down, you're going in the furnace. And so they bring these folks, these three guys, over to the king. And they know what's ahead of them. Now, they're still respectful to the king. But they tell him, we're not going to bow down. You know? And let's look here at a minute at Daniel. Let's look here at Daniel chapter 3. And okay, let's back up a little bit to Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Oh, well, that's another way of saying they were careful. Okay, they were being respectful to him. But he goes on to say, verse 17, if be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, thy hand, okay. Okay, so there was confidence there that God could deliver him. Didn't mean he had to, okay, but God had that much power. Well, then he goes on to say there in verse 18, but if not, okay, if God for whatever reason chooses not to deliver us, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. How'd that go over with Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah. You didn't talk like that to a king back then. Or if you did, it probably only happened once, and either you lost your life or your tongue or something bad happened to you. And so, well, it tells us there in verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. Okay, he's beet red, the veins are pumping, and he's mad and angry. Okay. And was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat up the furnace 1 7 times more than it want to be heated. Okay, so crank it up. I don't know if they had a thermostat out there. Anyway, it's 7 times hotter than it was to start with. Okay, and we're off of pilot light. We're on full blast. And then he gets some of his big burly guys, his soldiers, to toss them in. There in 21, it says, and these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Okay? And so they threw them in, and in the process of that, the soldiers that threw them in were killed. They were burned up in the process of all this. Now, let's zero in on this, if not, for a minute. I believe in the power of prayer. God can do miraculous things if he chooses to do so. But we can't make God do anything, you know. Sometimes people think they can kind of put God in a box. God, you have to do this. Well, no, God doesn't have to do anything, right? And he's got his plan, his purposes, his will that he's going to follow. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how things are going to turn out before it ever gets started. And he knew how things are going to turn out in this situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't, okay? But yet they were, regardless of whether they lived or died, they had made it clear, we're not going to worship your image. And so they very well could have been burned up. There were others through history, Christians, that weren't delivered. They were burnt. You look at Fox's Book of Martyrs and other books that tells about that. And fed to the lions there in Rome and so on. But, you know, we're faced with situations ourselves. Maybe it's a health situation. Well, are we willing to serve God whether or not He chooses to heal us? Or whether or not He chooses to provide that financial need, or helps us to get along better with our boss at work. Just all kinds of things. He mentions here too, he says, we want our marriages to get better, but if not, we will still serve the Lord. Okay? And so, you know, we make that choice, regardless of how things are going to turn out, good, bad, or otherwise, I'm still going to keep on serving the Lord. And we'll never come out losers on that. Now, we might not win as far as this world is concerned, okay? Somebody else might be telling us to do something other than that. But, you know, God has a plan, and we need to trust Him for that. And, again, not every, you know, the kids' stories, how does it end? And they lived happily ever after. Is that reality? No. That's not life. You know, everybody isn't healed of a physical illness. Okay? Imagine how crowded it might be about now if nobody ever died. Now, I don't know how many grands there would be, you know, but Adam and Eve be getting kind of old about now, you know. You know, but again, God's didn't just say, I'll take care of you through this life. He says, I'm going to take care of you through this life, and then I'm going to take care of you through eternity. So we can trust Him. And so we've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure there was a temptation. You know, look, nobody's around. You know, nobody else is going to know whether we bow down and worship this thing or not. Do you want to die? Do you want to go to the fire? You know, but they said, no, we're going to do the right thing. And, you know, there was consequences for it. And, you know, as they're walking up to this furnace, they don't know they're going to come walking back out. What kind of an impact did this have? Okay, so they're thrown into the furnace. The soldiers are burned up. They're killed in the process of all this. But somebody notices something else going on inside that fire. What was it?
Fourth man.
Yeah. There. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3. Not worse, number 4. Who's that? What's the deal? And so they come running and get Nebuchadnezzar. Come here, you got to see this. And he does. And he's no doubt amazed by this. We're look down into about verse 26. Well, let's back up. 25 says, and he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. Okay, so they come walking out. Says they don't even smell like smoke. Okay? I was out burn a few little sticks and leaves and stuff here the other day. And I come walking in the house and Maureen goes, whew. I can only imagine what a fiery furnace might have smelled like, okay? I don't know what they were using, tires or, you know, kerosene or whatever on the fire. But, yeah, and they come out of this thing and it has a tremendous impact on the king. And what else happens? Chris?
Well, because of Nebuchadnezzar saw inside that furnace, he made a decree that the God that the three men serve is the only God.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, well, he calls them out. He comes, answers them, and invites them to come out. He recognizes, he says, ye servants of the Most High God. Okay, he's using El Elyon here. His God paled in comparison. Okay? And, you know, his is a piece of stone or whatever it is, this 90-foot tall thing out there that man made, you know. Here's this God delivered him from a fiery furnace, and it has an impact on Nebuchadnezzar's life, and we see that would carry on later on in his life. But he makes this decree that has an impact. I mean, it's a ripple effect to everybody in their empire. Don't mess with these three guys. Don't mess with their God. He's the Most High God. And see how God took that and turned it around for His glory? We don't know how the Lord's going to work in our hearts and lives that can also bring glory to God as well. And we can trust Him, though. And Paul finds this out. He kind of shifts gears here and mentions Paul. Paul had his issues. Some think it was his eyesight or whatever. His trial, his difficulty. And he prayed. Now, you think Paul or God's normally answering Paul's prayers? Yeah. And yet this one, he chose not to. Again, for his own reason. But he said, you know, you'll find my grace is sufficient. How many people in the last 2,000 years have found help and hope from what God told Paul? You know, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's in our weakness, our weak moments, that we especially recognize and need the strength of the Most High God. And so He's there for us, and not just for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and Paul, but for the rest of us, too. He's there for us. And he mentions there kind of the last phrase, says, God won't always take away our burdens, but He will give us the empowering grace or strength that we need to bear up them, because He is El Elyon, okay? God's not going to just remove all the potholes out of life, but he's going to be there through it. You know, it's like we find in Scripture, and it talks about He will take us through the rivers, but He will not allow that river to overflow us. He'll take us through the fire. Okay, He's going to go with us. Whatever trial and difficulty that we face, He's there with us. You know, and as we mentioned here the other week, it's, you know, it was great to have a big brother or maybe a big sister that would come to our rescue as a little kid. But we got something a whole lot better than that. Okay? We have the Most High God. He's there for us. And so we need to remember that and not be afraid to call out to Him and ask for the help that we need. And so whether it's when tithing, we're tempted or we're tested, and there's a whole lot of more other things that don't start with T, that He's there for, Most High God. So, like you said, that's one that you want to remember. That's the one you want to be able to call on. All right? It's kind of like you get in, I joke with people, you know, if you get in trouble, you got that one phone call. You got that number memorized. Well, God's number is El Elyon. Don't forget. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for just this bit of a quick example of Your strength, Your ability to deliver people in all kinds of situations. You help deliver people with Abraham and getting Lot out of captivity and all of the things that they had taken away. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you're also help us when we're tested. And we have various things that we face, health concerns or other things down the road that maybe we're worried about. Help us to be able to trust you and be able to feel we can call out to you again, because you're the Most High God, and you're the creator, sustainer of this universe, and you're more than able to take care of any problems we might have. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry about the phone. I forgot to turn the thing down.
Those people that don't know we're at Bible study, right?